The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. A bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad tape, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Ferrell Appalachia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny got home today from the rehab center. The first thing she said was, dig out my Candy Jack 90% cartridge in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, the town's inside of my brains. Splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shaking it. Hey, what's gigging? It's Ferrell with Carver High this evening. And the number is 844-843-6879. We got a really big show for you tonight with your boy, Blue Line Kurtz will join us. George Kurtz from Sports Grid, because I was bantering on Twitter back and forth with George tonight, Carver. I don't know if you saw that or not. I started talking about, you know, how frustrated I get with the NHL linesmen with their face-offs.
Dropping the puck again? You got upset about dropping the puck?
I get all worked up. I'm watching the Islanders and Rangers, and they waved off every single faceoff. You saw it. It was every single one. And then George is like, I'm going to have to watch the game more closely and see if it's happening. Sure enough, it was every faceoff. You know, I don't have a problem with faceoffs. I think some people misunderstand my vig. All I know is that I get it. Obviously, you have to have face-offs. I'm not stupid. But my problem is how long it takes to have them. I mean, it's turned into a 60 to 90 second endeavor. And I say we all know everyone cheats. I mean, just let them skate up and drop it. What's with all the waving guys off and doing it? It takes just way too long. Drives me nuts. It all started in the 2009 Stanley Cup Finals when the Penguins played the Red Wings at the Joe in Game 7. And all you have to do is pull up that sound. Pull up Ferrell Calls Game 7, 2009, Red Wings, Penguins. Not safe for work or home around children broadcast I did. It was on Howard 101. It was uncensored, and it was completely vulgar. But I think you'll get the gist of it. My problem with the linesman not dropping the puck on faceoffs. It just, I mean, I don't understand, Carver High. the whole delay of it all, and your team won tonight 2-0. That they scored with about 8 minutes left in the game on a beautiful loose puck in front. Who was it? Cizikas. And then they got Martin scored on a perfect tape job pass of him crashing the net. They won 2-0, right? Don't tell me you weren't watching and seeing all those face-offs, waving guys off all night. Don't even tell me that I'm wrong. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. That is SiriusXM Channel 204, our satellite partner. Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Near Tijuana, do Tijuana. And then Sports Map Radio and Sports Byline USA Armed Forces Radio. Good to have you with us tonight. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. Anyway, don't even tell me I'm crazy, Carver High. Don't even go there with me because I will lose it.
Look, I'm not telling you that you're crazy. I mean, I watch all the games too. I know what's going on. It can be absolutely painful for very long stretches when these guys just won't drop the puck. They move one guy out, move another guy in, move one guy out. I understand that, you know, defensive zone faceoffs, you know, power plays, they're crucial faceoffs. I get you don't want guys cheating on those because possession is so important, but sometimes it can get very painful. It's frustrating.
Just drop the puck. So one of the things is that I figure, your boy Blue Line jumped in on it. He started chirping and talking about how important the faceoff is. And he's
he's a referee of a men's league, so he's
well, of course
he's all in on the rules. All in on the rule.
He brought that into it, of course, and then I had to set him into my world, which is drop the effing puck. I don't care how important the faceoff is. I don't care where it is. Some other guy told me, what are you going to do in the neutral zone? Like, I give a rat's ass where they do it. I get it. Power play faceoff, obviously. Here's the deal. I've watched hockey for 50 years. Do I not understand the best player gets the puck? It's real simple. If you ask me, the better player usually wins the faceoff. Am I wrong? I mean, that's just all there is. There are specialists. There are guys that are great at taking faceoffs. And they win the draw, and that's that. And I don't think it has anything to do with waving guys off and resetting or anything else. Just drop the effing puck. We got a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of games. There's some late night games that are delicious. We're going to be all over those tonight on the bench. Pharrell on the bench, 844-843-6879. Blue Line Kurtz will join us in, 10 minutes. And then in an hour and 10 minutes, something like that, Aaron Torres, our friend from Fox Sports in L.A., will join us, and we'll talk college rack. I'm watching the second half start of Ohio State of Maryland from College Park. And Maryland was up early in this game, but Ohio State came back with a barrage of threes. They got a couple guys that can really shoot on this team, and they hit a bunch of threes and got back in the game. They led it by five or whatever at the half, something like that. Here they go, underway. Obviously, you know, Ohio State's ranked fourth in the country, and they're in the top five. And the AP poll came out today. We talked about it on Coast to Coast. What was it, Carver High? Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky.
UCLA.
And UCLA.
First time all of them have been, 61.
Since 1961, I wasn't even considered yet as a possible fetus.
I can clearly say the same.
I was 4 years short of being a fetus. That's crazy when you think about it. And then what I said before to you is crazy. I'll tell you what's really crazy is that I said I've been watching hockey for 50 years, right? So anyway, you know what really bothered me today? I had like a moment about it, and I have no reason. I don't know the guy from Adam. I said this on Coast to Coast. I know you know where I'm going. The Pedro Gomez guy dying.
Yeah, very sad.
From ESPN. The baseball reporter from Cuba. And I always kind of liked his kind of style of, you know, reporting and his angles and everything else. And I'll never forget watching a story of him, you know, coming to America from Cuba and, you know, making it to Miami and then starting his family and life there, right? And what he went through to get it done. And he was on ESPN forever, right? Like, I honestly feel like I've watched that guy for about 15, 20 years, haven't I?
Well, yeah, because his real claim to national, you know, prominence and really becoming somebody that everybody recognized from ESPN was he was the guy that always followed around Barry Bonds. That was like his first big national assignment. You know, he was, I was reading a story today about how, you know, he was covering the A's in Oakland in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And he eventually moved in, you know, moved up to ESPN and started doing stuff there. And he became the guy that followed Bonds everywhere for all the home run chases and all the steroid stuff. And he was the Bonds guy, spring training, regular season play. He was Bonds' shadow for years covering him for ESPN.
You know, I actually, I was there in San Francisco in 94 when he went there, right, to the Giants. And that guy was covering him, and I still didn't know him, right? I don't really ever remember meeting him in the Bay Area when he covered Bonds. But I covered Bonds all through the Pittsburgh and San Francisco years, right? And then when I lived in L.A., I mean, they play the Dodgers so many times. And Padres, I just always was around Bonds, right? Just like he was, but I never met him. And the weird, I don't think I met him. There's a lot of years there, Carver High, I don't remember very well. But I will, there were some problems in memory there. But I have to say, I had like a moment of like clarity today when I, you know, I'm just being honest. When I was walking my dog in Boston and I thought of that guy dropping dead, right? Like 58 years old. What does he have? Three kids. One of them's in minor league baseball and a wife and, you know, big family guy, allegedly. And you know, I don't know anything about his personal life other than I read about his son playing minor league ball or whatever. He was really proud of him because he loved baseball and the kid made it, right? He's in the minors. But just that he dropped dead like that at 58. I mean, that's basically, you know, is it not what they're saying? They're like, you know, that no
right.
one will
well,
say what
nobody
happened.
Has said, yeah, nobody has said exactly what he has passed away from yet, but it was clearly unexpected and out of nowhere. I mean, the guy was, you know, he was tweeting at somebody like, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours before he passed away, like, you know, just like a normal day. So something unexpected did happen with him.
So, I mean, what did I say today? Like, I mean, a heart attack or something, or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah, listen,
an aneurysm.
There's a lot of things that, I mean, you have no idea. I mean, it could be that. Was there an accident? No, you know, we're not sure.
Well, I think if there was an accident, if
there'd
was
be police
like some
report,
kind of,
there'd be some
yeah,
kind of
there'd be,
report, things like that.
It'd be all over the news. Like, there'd be no hiding it. If there was, like, a public accident, there'd be no hiding it. Look at Britt Reed. He smashed into those two cars. He was drunk and high on Adderall, allegedly. And they got him. He admitted it. And he's in all kinds of trouble. And it became news, like,
yeah, if it was that, if it was that, you'd know about it already. It would be known, obviously.
But, and it couldn't have been COVID because they would have said he had COVID and that he was sick. They would have said he was in the hospital with COVID. You don't just get COVID in your house and drop dead. It doesn't work that way. you know, that's all there is to it. I mean, you know, whoever gets it, it's like a 2-week thing. It's, you know, like having the flu times 10. You get a bad fever, a bad cough, aches, pains, blah, blah, blah. And it's not just instantaneous death for anybody, right? No one just gets it and they're dead that 5 minutes later. It's not the way it works.
No, it's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn. I think this guy had a heart attack or something. Or, you know, an aneurysm, something like that. I mean, what the hell else could it be? I mean, who knows? Maybe, and it's hard to sit here and guess, you know.
Well, I'm sure when the family's ready, they will divulge that information to the public. Still very early, still very fresh.
I want answers now.
I know you do.
But no, the thing that creeps me out about it is his age, right? I mean, dude.
Well, look, that creeps me out too. No,
you know,
listen.
He's 58, right? He shouldn't be dead.
This stuff. I'm with you 100%. When I see somebody now, I'm in my 40s, early 40s now. Obviously, when I see somebody now around my age passing away from whatever, it raises the eyebrows for me. Believe me. You know, the guy Chris Wessling, who from NFL.com, passed away over the weekend too. Scotty,
yeah.
We had him on the show many times in the past. He passed away from cancer over the weekend. 44 years old. You know, I mean, it's just, it's brutal.
Who was the guy just recently, the guy from ESPN as well, the basketball reporter died. Do you know who I'm talking about? I forget his name. He had a funky name with like S's or something like that. What was that guy's name? So I know Siku Smith. Yeah, I didn't look it up. I just remembered it. Thank God, because I got early for Alzheimer's. What's his name? Oh, all right. Well, fair enough. I know they reported on it on ESPN. But that's another guy that's like my age. Like, it really creeps me out because, you know, I'm double nickels, 55, and these guys are dropping dead. Like, are you kidding me? It's just really depressing. We'll come back and talk to Blue Line Kurtz. Pharrell and Avenge, Blue Line is back on the Mahogany Waxing Up Poetically. George Kurtz, we like to call him Blue Line. He is a great hockey ref and a great hockey analyst and a great on-air host at Sports Grid. And we always like hooking up with George. George, how you doing, buddy?
Well, hey. Islanders beat the Rangers tonight 2-0, so the Islanders won tonight too, so I'm in a pretty good mood.
All right, so I wanted to start off, we'll get into the hockey in a second, George. So you were talking to Carver High about the weather, and I just want you to know that I just looked at the weather. I already know, I told Carver High we were getting this snowstorm in the morning. And we're getting another one. This one's not going to be as bad. It's going to be like, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of like where I am, 6 inches, where you are, maybe, you know, 3-4 inches. But it's going to be followed by a bunch of rain. But then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, every day there's potential for more snow. And then next Tuesday and Wednesday, more snow. What is going on, George, with the constant blizzards and snow now around here? We never in New York City have this much snow where it just keeps snowing every other day for weeks at a time. It never happens. What is going on? Is the world ending, George?
You know, it's funny because I feel the same way. We don't see this. I mean, the last 3 years, we've barely seen snow at all. I don't even think I broke out my snowblower the last 2 years. And you're right. I'm looking at the weather app again. Snow tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, next Tuesday, Wednesday. I can't go any further than that. It doesn't go any further than that. It's all snow, snow, snow. It's strange. I mean, you know, it sounds like the old fogey. I tell my kids, you know, back when I grew up in the 70s, you know, we used to have big snowstorms, but we didn't have snow every other day. This is not Buffalo. You know, this is not Alaska here. So it's strange. It's definitely a strange feeling to have to worry about snow each and every day.
I was on record as saying the other day, I was at the gym or something after I dug out in the morning, and they're like, how did you make it here? I'm like, I feel like I live in Nome, Alaska. Like, every single week we've had, the first one was 3 foot, and then I got, like, you know, 4 and 5 foot drifts. I dug out of that with a snowblower that's, I have a gigantic snowblower, but it was even, like, every time I hit a pile of these drifts, like, it would almost die, right, because it's so thick, and then I'd pull it back and go at it again. I'd have to, like, multi-hit the piles of snow, the chunks that I'd go through, and then, you know, I clean the driveway, I'm done, and then you got to dig the cars out with the shovel, right, so you're out there, and George, this is, like, heart attack potential. You're out there digging, and I'm in great shape. I work out 7 days a week. You're in great shape. You ref hockey every night. You're in great shape. But I don't care how great a shape you're in, digging heavy snow with a shovel sucks. And like when you snow plow your driveway and you're done, but you still have to spend another 40 minutes digging cars out because you can't get the snowblower under the car, between the cars and all that, or too close to the cars. It really sucks having to go to the, like, round two, which is shoveling snow, or the walkway, or the front steps, and then my kids do nothing to help. I just wanted to say that to you, George.
Yeah, people think having a snowblower, oh, it's all fun and games out there. It's not like a lawnmower. You just go over the lawn, you make your little designs or whatever, up and down. I mean, it's a heavy machine. You are going to get stuck in spots. You mentioned sometimes snow gets stuck in the turbines. You get slush in the, whatever you call it, the thing that shoots out the snow. Then you got to go dig that out. It's a pain in the butt. And as you mentioned, one thing about this the last couple of storms, been a lot of ice on the ground. If you don't get to it right away, it's all ice. Last night when the storm stopped, it was about, what, 6 p.m. here. That was Super Bowl time. You know, I'm not going to go out and shovel snow during that, so I did it today, and it was all ice. So you use a snowblower for what you can. You gotta get out the heavy shovel. Not a shovel. I'm talking like a big metal dirt shovel from the 40s there to get that ice up. That's just a lot of fun. You mentioned there were times you definitely feel it. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna relax for a minute here before I die on my driveway.
You know what I mean? Like, there's potential for it. So I have to ask you, George. You got caught up in my rant tonight. Because I don't usually rant on Twitter about anything. I really don't. I just kind of, I'll say a couple, one or two, three words, whatever, like, this game sucks or something like that. Or I'm like, in the Super Bowl last night, I wrote, when does Your Honor come on, you know, on Showtime? I'm not one to, like, go on, you know, diatribes about things, but I was watching the Islander game, and literally the linesman waved off every faceoff for the entire game, and I was sitting there, and after you caught on to it, they kept doing it. Like, I don't know if you noticed, you said, I'm going to go watch a little bit and see if you're right. Sure enough, they waved off, like, the next 7 faceoffs, so I was sitting there watching it after you had said that. I go, trust me, George isn't going to miss anything because they're going to do it again, and they just kept doing it. They waved off every single, the first dude that skated up, he waves one of them off every time. I am so sick and tired of it. Honestly, I get the face-off. I understand the importance. I understand the face-off in the power play and in that zone or on, you know, defensively. I get all that. That's fine. And then drop the effing puck. Why is it? And this started for me in 2009, George, when the Penguins beat the Red Wings at Game 7 at the Joe to win the Stanley Cup after they lost to the Red Wings in 08. That Game 7, the refs wouldn't drop the puck, and I literally did a broadcast on Howard 101 on Sirius that was so filthy and foul-mouthed and repulsive. It's still like, what do they call that, Carver High? It's like a that thing's become an institution, that broadcast, because it's so disgusting and repulsive.
Legendary.
And foul-mouthed and,
legendary,
well,
broadcast.
It's the stuff of legend. Or what is it? What are they? You know, it's gone viral, my play-by-play of that game.
Yes.
Because there's no rules.
Did.
No censorship. We have the rights to the NHL at Sirius, so I was allowed to call the game, and I did it with nothing but vulgarity. And it was because of those linesmen, and they wouldn't drop the effing puck. And I've been yelling this since 09. Carver High, every time I bring it up, he's like, oh, here we go again with this guy and his face-off dilemma. But, I mean, tell me I'm wrong, George. Honest to Christ.
Well, first off, I hate you. Because ever since we had this conversation, and I was watching the face-offs, I'm like, oh, God, he's right. And now all I can pay attention to is the face-offs. It's like, oh, is this going to do it in this game, too? Are they doing it in this game? You know, it's like, so, yes, thank you for bringing that to my attention. So now it's really on my mind now to watch the face-offs and what the linesmen do there. I don't know why. I mean, I am so sick and tired of talking about officiating. Last night we're doing in-game live. I'm wearing a ref jacket because I wanted to be on the winning team last night. The officials were lousy during the Super Bowl. They're lousy in hockey, and they're lousy in baseball. They're lousy everywhere. Do they just want to be part of the game? Is that why? That seems to be what they want to be. They, even though we don't announce their names, they're like, oh, linesman, you know, Jerry Smith here refuses to drop the puck. No one's saying that, so I don't understand why they do that. I probably don't go quite to your degree here, you know, drop the puck, but drop the. Let's go. Someone's doing something oblivious. Drop the puck. Let's go. No, we're not paying. We're not watching to see the Zebras. Drop the puck. Let's go.
Oh, my God. It's just, like, so annoying to me. Like, so I said, you saw a couple of my tweets. I'm like, I want to see him skate. I want to see him score. I want to see him pass. I want to see him shoot. I want to see him fight. I want to see power plays. I want to see PKs. I want to see overtime. I don't really want to see a shootout. I could get rid of shootouts and these, you know, I just think the face-off should be simple. Skate up, drop the puck. The best man wins. The best player usually gets the draw anyway. Some guys are specialists at it, and they never lose a draw. Some guys are just, you know, fantastic at it. So I don't see the point of waving guys off. Just drop the puck. Who cares? And it's simple. If you're shorty anyway, it doesn't matter. I mean, you think, I'm going to win the draw and I'm going to clear the puck. Whatever. They're going to still come down and get a $1.40 on you anyway with the extra extra attacker. All I know is I think it just takes forever. 60 to 90. It's turned into literally a minute to a minute and a half ordeal. And you just sit there watching the game and you're like, drop the effing puck. Just let if I'm paying that much money to go to an NHL game, I want to see hockey. I don't want to watch the lineman's ass dropping pucks all night. And that's all I ever see. I'm watching the Islander game tonight. It took forever just to drop the puck on faceoffs. I'm like, what is going on? I was like, I can't even take it anymore. I'm going to turn the channel and I watched a crappy Charlotte Hornet game. I want to kill myself. I want to watch these guys skate and play, George.
It sort of reminded me of slow pitchers in baseball, guys who don't throw the baseball. Well, you got to wait 25, 35 seconds before they throw the ball. That's what it dawned on me about with linesmen who won't drop the puck. Listen, I'm assuming that they're not hearing from the NHL. They go, hey, we want these faceoffs to be exact. I doubt that's happening. You know, there's some mandate from Bettman that says, make sure the faceoffs are exact here. But I can't figure out a reason for it. I honestly can't. I understand you don't want somebody cheating terribly, but everybody cheats. All right, let it go. Unless someone's really complaining about it, let it go. Move on here. No one's paying to see you. I do want to see the puck get down, and we want to see play in motion. That's the idea here. So I don't know why it's happening for what it is. And Cam and I have discussed the same thing as you, by the way, getting rid of the shootouts here. But one thing I'd like to get rid of, how about the point system? Let's stop giving teams a point for an overtime loss.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. And, you know, when we come back, I want to ask George what he thinks of, really, to be honest with you, some of these teams. Like, I still think the Islanders are a really good team because they have the same, crew that went all the way to the Eastern Finals or whatever and lost. And then, they were six games from a cup. And then they came out this year and they've not looked like that team. Jekyll and Hyde, they don't look like that team at all. But I think, you know, tonight they got a big win. They're really not that far out of Boston and Philly at the top of that Eastern Division. We'll ask George about all the teams in the NHL that are good and all the teams that suck. We're talking a little hockey with Blue Line Kurtz. We'll be right back. right, for all the events, we're talking to George Kurtz, Blue Line. Hey, so your Islanders won tonight, 2-0. You get the Cizikas goal, I think it was, unless I'm crazy. And then the Martin, you know, right on the doorstep from a tape job pass. Great from over on, along the goal line in the corner. So they finally, you know, they come out and handle their business. The game 0-0 with about 9 minutes left. They finally win a game because they're better than the other team. You know, like on paper, this is one of the most dangerous teams in the league from, you know, obviously last year, the last couple of years, they've been building this momentum. What do you think has been wrong with them other than not scoring a lot of goals? Is that their only issue or do they have more issues? Why have they come out and been so average? Like, and I don't think any team's blowing anybody away, but it's pretty obvious now that, you know, Boston and Philly are on top of that division and are playing better than everybody else.
I think when you look at the Islanders, I mean, if we go back to before COVID hit last year, they were a dying team. They had lost 7 straight and 11 of 12, I believe it was. Then COVID hit. It sort of saved their season there, right? Because they got months off, and the Angel had to figure out a way to get everybody in the playoffs that had any small chance of making it. So the Islanders made the playoffs, and that sort of reset their season there. And they would get back to the style of play that they have to play. The Islanders don't have much offensive talent. It's really Barzal is the only skilled player on that team. So they have to play Trott's system to a T. I mean, they can't deviate it from it at all. Volubov has to play well in net. If any of that's off just a little bit, they're not going to be able to win games. They're not going to be able to score to overcome those. So when they're doing well, and when they get that sort of little break, remember, they had a little break here, right? Because they're playing Buffalo, got a couple of games canceled. They were able to get practice in. Trott is able to get them back into that system. They played, I didn't think they played great against Pittsburgh, but they played solid. They played much better tonight. And when they get into a groove, they're very dangerous because they played that system. You're not going to get too many A opportunities to beat them. And even when you do, Volov might save it. And they got a couple of good goals tonight from the, what is Trotz calling it now? The identity line, not the fourth line. Martin Cizikas, Clutterbuck. There you go. You win the game. But it's hard to do that, Scotty, for game after game after game in a long season. A playoff series? Absolutely. The players will buy in. But I think you give this team another, let's say, 2-3 games. They'll start the freelance again, wanting to play. You know, they're a more open version of hockey. We've all played hockey. It's boring hockey what the Islanders play. If you're playing it, it's boring hockey. You can win that way, but it gets boring, and the players will freelance once again.
Do you find the season is bizarre in that all these teams are, like, you know, the Devils, Sabres are having these problems with the COVID? There's been more than that. You know, you go down the list of teams that have had to reschedule games and everything, and Dallas went through it. You know, you name it. It's crazy to see what's happened to the schedule, right? Like, somebody's in Vegas, like, for instance. Like, Vegas is, in my opinion, a very dangerous team. They're here, they're sitting, you know, tied atop the West. But they've played, am I crazy? They've played fewer games than everybody.
Yeah, Vegas has only played 9 games, at least two less than everybody else in that division, yet they're tied for first. Vegas is one of the best teams in the NHL. We know that. So, I mean, really kudos to them. And they've had COVID problems as well. The coach was out for a bit here. It's a weird season, Scotty. I mean, it's a weird season. And don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining because I want them to play hockey. I didn't complain about baseball and all the idiotic rules. Didn't complain about football and some of the weird things that happened there. Not going to complain about hockey either. I guess it gets a little monotonous. I mean, it seemed like, you know, like Edmonton's playing Toronto every night, or they're playing Ottawa. You're playing the same teams over and over and over again. I believe Vancouver and Montreal have already played each other 5 times. Toffoli has 8 goals in those 5 games here. 8 of his 9 goals. He's living it up there. So it gets a little tiresome playing the same teams over and over again. But once again, that's how it has to be. Now for gamblers, it's going to be very interesting later in the season here. You just talked about all these teams that have games to be made up, and not just the COVID teams, but the teams they were playing. I was just talking to Carver off air. The Islanders are probably going to lose another week's worth of games starting after the next game Thursday because, of once again, Buffalo can't play, and another team is out as well. So it means the Islanders are going to have to make up 5-6 games at some point. You could have 5-game weeks. That's going to be tough here because How are we going to judge that as gamblers? How much practice time can they get? Are they banged up? Are they going to have their legs that night? Probably not. I mean, when I approach hockey betting, almost rarely did I bet a team playing on the second half of back-to-back nights against a decent team. You're playing Ottawa or Detroit, fine. No problem there. But you're playing a good team or a team that's close to you, and they didn't play back-to-back, I was staying away from it. But in the second half of this season, we're going to see a lot of teams that are going to be five week night games here. They're going to be tired. They're going to be exhausted. And I'm not going to know how to approach it. It's going to be an interesting NHL season. And I don't know if every team's going to play 56 games.
Well, the Oilers tonight beat the Senators 3-1. They're playing them again tomorrow night. The Coyotes and Blues are playing for, they're in overtime right now, tied at threes with about 40 seconds left. They played four in a row against each other. The Lightning beat the Predators tonight 4-1. They're playing them again tomorrow night in Smashville. And do you lean, even though they're bad teams like Ottawa and Nashville, they've been bad, right? Do you lean toward going to them on the second night, or do you stick with the team that's better that should beat them both games?
I mean, you can't bet Ottawa. They're not a good team. They're just not a good team. That's a game, if you're going to bet anything with Ottawa, maybe you're going to go with Shabbat for a prop or something like that to score a point, power play point, whatever it might be. But I'm not betting Ottawa. They're just too bad. I don't think I'd bet Ottawa against anybody. Ottawa, Detroit, they're teams that I'm not touching against anybody here. Nashville's a little different. I don't think Nashville's a bad team. They're not playing great. They're 5-6, -7 goal differential. I think they played a little bit better than their record. They played okay tonight. They lost 4-1, but I think it was two empty net goals from what I saw while we were talking here. So it was a much better game than we saw there. But this is Nashville that we always see, right? They're sort of like the Islanders, but with better named players. They don't score goals either. They got Forsberg, but he's not that player. Right, they have other guys. I mean, I know Johansson just went on the IR. Duchesne is there. I mean, but they don't score goals. Arvidsson. These guys are better names, but they don't score either here. I think Rene will be in net tomorrow because Soro started tonight. But so will Vasilevsky. Remember, they played McElhinney tonight. They got Vasilevsky tomorrow. No thanks. I'm not taking Nashville.
So do you think the Lightning are, because they're playing without Kucherov and they're still kicking everyone's ass, they're whatever it is, 8-1-1 now, 17 points. They've only played 10 games. They win tonight. It seems like they're winning every night, even without Kucherov.
Well, they're playing in a cake division. I mean, look what's in the Central Division here. Columbus, I know it's been Tampa Bay's little bugaboo. They eliminated them a couple of seasons ago. Florida, they've always had problems. Florida's playing great, by the way. They've only played 9 games just like Tampa, and they're 6-1-2. I mean, they're playing very talent there. Nice, but no one's afraid of Carolina. Chicago, Dallas is interesting, but they have a lot of injuries here. Radulov's out now. Sagan will be back in a couple of months, maybe Bishop in a couple of months, and then Nashville and Detroit here. So Tampa got the right draw here when you think about it. And what I mean by that is they can almost sort of coast through the regular season. They'll certainly be a top 14. They're probably one of the best teams in the league. Kucherov is probably back for the playoffs, maybe even the last week or two of the regular season, especially if that regular season gets extended by that open week they have there. I think Tampa Bay is in a very good spot here. They can sort of prepare for the playoffs like next month, where they get it how they want to get it here. Their schedule has worked out kind of well here. They did lose the first, two of their first four games because they had to play, was it Florida with COVID or Dallas with COVID, I believe it was. So they're going to have some makeup games there. But I like Tampa a lot. If it's Tampa and Vegas in the finals, I am not shocked at all. I don't care if Tampa Bay won last year. I think they want to go for it again. And everything's coming up the city of Tampa Bay's way of late, right? Lightning, Buccaneers, Rays. I know the Rays didn't win, but they came damn close.
Yeah, they did. Speaking of baseball, and I talk about how good the Leafs and Canadians look, and some of those teams in the North are definitely playing good hockey. But I wanted to ask you about baseball. You know, they agreed tonight to the parameters of this season. 7-inning doubleheaders, runners on second to start extra innings is happening. No universal DH and no expanded playoffs. Now, I thought the expanded playoffs last season was great. Why did they do away with that? Did you like it with the expanded playoffs last year in the COVID, or are you glad they're not doing that this year?
Well, as a fan, yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's just more baseball. It's just we didn't get any through most of the summer. Yeah, more baseball was great. Do I like it for the game? No, because winning the division meant nothing. It meant nothing. You get an extra play home game. You know, so I don't like it as far as that's concerned. The union doesn't like it because they think, well, if everybody gets in the playoffs, 16 teams out of 30 would, the old hockey rules here, well, then are they going to spend big money on free agents? They know they're going to get in anyway. Not every owner wants to win. You know, where they'll spend, you know, $200 million on this player or that player. So that's what they're concerned about there. That's why they didn't vote for it. And they don't think the owner's saying, well, if we have expanded playoffs, we'll give you $80 million. I think that was the number they brought up. We'll give you $80 million. The player's like, that's not enough. You know, you're getting much more than that. You're getting more than we are. And DH, you're trying to tie the DH to this? That's 15 extra jobs. Who cares? That's not what they're about here. So the it's weird. Ownership wants the DH. The players want the DH, but they can't agree on it because they got to fight over every little thing. I still think that by opening day, assuming it is April 1st, that we will have expanded playoffs of some sort. I'm not going to say it's going to be 16. Maybe it's 14. So that the first, whoever finishes first gets a bye. I can see that happening. And I think we will have a DH. But I think they'll agree to it sometime during spring training. But that being said, I wouldn't bet on this. And like I said, these two, they want to fight. And not so much this year, but when the CBA expires at the end of the year, boy, Scott, in 2022, I'd bet the house that we're not playing 162.
Well, listen, they just agreed tonight. It's done. Like, they're not having the universal DH. They're not having expanded playoffs. You're telling me you think they're going to go to spring training and change their minds and go back to the negotiating table? I don't see that happening. They just did it.
They did last year.
They already made their mind.
They can always go back in. They can always go back in. I think they'll do it.
Drinking tequila. Are you drinking tequila tonight, George?
Listen, they didn't. Remember last year? I think they will. I think they will because the owners will give something else that the players want. Maybe it'll be more money, maybe $150 million. And the players will cave and give into it. Because in the end, the players want to make it as well. Maybe it's wishful thinking, but they certainly can do it. You can renegotiate anything you want. Doesn't matter if they agree to something now. Last year, they did it, what, 2 days before the season started? So they can do it whenever
that's
they
because,
like.
But that's because they never did anything until 2 days before the season started. Let me ask you this question. I got 30 seconds. Will the Mets be better than the Yankees this summer?
Not record-wise, but team-wise, yes. The Yankees pitching scares the hell out of me.
So you think the Mets will go further than the Yankees?
I think they'll be a better team, but the Yankees play in a better division. No really to challenge the Yankees. Rays lost Snell, lost Morton. Mets play in a rough division.
Yeah, they do. It's interesting. I think they're going after Bradley Jr. now is what I was hearing. George, always great having you on the bench, brother. Thanks a lot for coming on tonight. We'll catch up again soon.
Anytime, guys.
All right, there he is, Blue Line Kurtz with us. Coming up in the second hour, Aaron Torres of Fox Sports joins us on the bench. All right, early happy birthdays out tomorrow to Hot Nicole, Carver High's wife, who's getting ready to have another child any week now, in the next week or two, maximum 3 weeks. Carver High under tremendous strain. So anyway, the thing is about the baseball, they've agreed 7-inning doubleheaders. Runners on second to start the extra innings is returning for a second straight season under the agreement for health protocols reached today between baseball and the PA. It did not include last year's experimental rule to extend the DH to the National League or expanded playoffs. After allowing 16 teams in the postseason last year instead of 10, MLB had proposed 14 for this year before withdrawing that plan next month. So there were 45 games postponed for COVID, and just two were not made up between St. Louis and Detroit. In order to accomplish that, there were 56 doubleheaders, the most since 76 in 1984. The agreement includes more sophisticated contact tracing for COVID. Spring training starts in like 8 days. Season starts April 1st. And then the union last week rejected the baseball proposal to delay spring training and opening day until April 28th. That's not happening either. Last season's start was delayed from March 26th to July 23rd because of the pandemic. Each team played 60. So now they're going to what is it? Is it a $1.54 they're playing this year? Is that what they're playing, Carver High?
I thought the $1.54 got turned down. I think they're playing the whole run, 162.
Oh, the whole – oh, wait. Led to a plan that would have led to a compressed schedule of 154 instead of the usual 162. They rejected that, so they're going to play the whole season. There you go. All right, we got a lot going on, and we'll talk college hoops hour two.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.